Well, good morning, church. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to the book of James. We will continue today our verse-by-verse study through James' book. I've titled the message, Taming the Terrible Tongue. I was tempted to go with, Don't Let Your Tongue Lick You, but I think this might be more appropriate. We love to talk, don't we? Some of us more than others, but we all love to talk. There are talk shows everywhere. Everyone seems to have something to say about everything. The average American has 30 conversations a day. Statistics say that we will spend one-fifth of our life talking. If you're a man, you speak an average of 20,000 words a day. If you are a woman, you speak an average of 30,000 a day. Remember the guy who was asked, do you resent that your wife has the last word? And he said, no, I'm just glad when she finally gets to it. Some of us are born with a silver foot in our mouths. We have the natural ability to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Nothing is open more widely at the wrong time than our mouths. Sort of like the stock boy at the grocery store, a lady asked him, said, can I buy half a head of lettuce? The boy went to the manager not realizing that she was following close behind, and he said, you're not going to believe this, but there's an old bag out there that wants to buy half a head of lettuce. At the time, he turned around and saw the woman standing there and said, and this nice lady right here wants to buy the other half. Our mouths get us into a lot of trouble. And James, probably more so than anyone else in the New Testament, addresses our mouth, our tongue, taming the terrible tongue. Every chapter in his book, he says something about managing your mouth. Look in James 3, verse 2. James says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. That word perfect, it means mature, complete. He is a perfect man, able to rein in or able to bridle the whole body as well. So James suggests that if you can control your mouth, then you are mature. He's not talking here about being sinless. That word perfect, it just means healthy, complete, mature. When you go to the doctor and say, well, I'm not feeling well, sometimes the doctor says, well, stick out your tongue. Friend, your tongue reveals what is going on inside of you. And James says that doesn't just mean physically, but it also has something to say about your spiritual health as well. So James insists that we learn to manage our mouth. We have to learn how to tame our tongue so that our tongue doesn't lick us. So why should I watch what I say? Why do our words matter? There are three reasons outlined in our text suggesting that we need to learn to manage our mouth. James gives six illustrations, two for each reason why we need to watch what we say. And the first thing that James teaches us is that my tongue directs where I go. My tongue directs where I go. My mouth has tremendous influence, tremendous control over my life. If I ask you, where are you headed in life? Where are you going to be 10 years from now? You might think about your conversations. What is it that you like to talk about? What do you talk about the most? I believe that we shape our words and then our words shape us. And so James says, even though the tongue is small, even though the tongue is tiny, because it's so tiny, we think that it's insignificant. But it has tremendous power. The first illustration that he gives us is to consider a bit in a horse's mouth. Friend, you can have this huge stallion that weighs 2,000-3,000 pounds. You can have a 95-pound jockey on the back of that horse, and that jockey can pretty much control and dictate and steer where that horse goes. Now, how does that happen? It happens because there is a piece of metal that is stuck strategically over the horse's tongue. And church, in much the same way, your tongue controls the direction of your life. Just a little phrase can influence the direction of life. And then James said, consider a ship. I read that the Queen Mary has 3 acres of recreational space. The anchor of this huge ocean liner is equal to the weight of 10 cars. But did you know that a relatively small rudder directs the huge ocean liner out into the middle of the waves and the winds and the seas? A small rudder keeps this massive ship on course. And our tongue is like that. Our tongue is like a rudder that steers us. Look in James chapter 3, verse 4. He says, look at the ships too. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are nevertheless directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot determines. So my tongue, it directs where I go. James uses the word directed or steered. Your tongue is the steering wheel of your life. Your tongue is the guidance system. And if you don't like the way that you're headed, then you might consider changing the way that you talk. Many people think, well, if the tongue has such influence, then maybe it would be best if I just don't say anything at all. I just won't talk. I'll remain silent. I heard about a guy who joined the monastery, and for 3 years he was given a probation period. He wasn't to speak at all. At the end of the first year, they said, you can speak 2 words. Man said, bed hard. At the end of the second year, they said, you can speak 2 more words. He said, food cold. At the end of the third year, this man had all that he could handle, and his 2 words were, I quit. Well, the head priest responded to the man. He says, your quitting doesn't surprise me because all you've done since you got here is complain. James teaches that our tongue directs where I go. It's the steering wheel of my life. And so I have to learn to control the tongue. A second reason that we need to watch what we say is because my tongue can destroy what I have. It can destroy what I have. In verse 5, James provides another illustration. Imagine with me a beautiful forest full of tall trees. Imagine that same beautiful forest, green forest, engulfed in fire and in smoke. Imagine that same forest completely engulfed, instantly destroyed with a tiny match. Many massive fires, they destroy miles of land and homes and livestock. And that massive destruction begins with one tiny match. But James points out your tongue can destroy just like that. You can lose it all. You can destroy all that you have. A careless camper can destroy an entire national forest overnight. But friend, I need to tell you this morning that a careless word can destroy a life overnight. Friend, gossip is like fire. Gossip spreads quickly and it wrecks lives and it wrecks churches. I wonder how many people, because of a careless word, how many people have destroyed their marriage or their career, their reputation, or maybe the reputation of another? How many have destroyed their church or a friendship because of a careless word? You see, the tongue not only has the power to direct where you go, but it has the power to destroy what you have. Have you ever met a verbal arsonist? Do you know someone whose words are always inflammatory? James teaches that our words, like a fire, our words can burn people. And so we have to be careful. I will grant you that both fire and words can, when under control, they can give tremendous warmth and light. But fire and words out of control, they can be devastating. I like what the Bible says in Proverbs 18:20, the Good News Translation. It says you have to live with the consequences of everything you say. In James 3:6, we find James' next illustration. He said, the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our body's parts as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. James explains that words can create a chain reaction. Friend, you can say something without any intent to harm another person, but what you say can have devastating effects that are beyond your control. Our words create a chain reaction. Some have suggested that in just a few inflammatory statements set off a chain of events that we now look back on and call World War II. On a more personal level, you come home from work. Maybe you're tired and you're cranky, you're grumpy. The husband walks in and he yells at the wife. The wife yells at the oldest kid. The oldest kid yells at the baby sister. The baby sister doesn't know what to do. She goes out and kicks the dog. The dog bites the cat. The cat scratches the baby. And the baby bites the head off the Barbie doll. What we have is just a chain reaction. Just reacting one to another. Sometimes I think it'd be better if the husband just comes in and bites the head off the Barbie doll himself. And just be a whole lot simpler, wouldn't it? Our words can create a negative chain reaction. And James points out that we need to learn to manage our mouth. Our mouths not only direct where we go, but they can destroy what we have. Beloved, you can lose your family. You can lose your career simply by what you say. Our words are like fire. Proverbs 21:23 says, if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. And then James uses another illustration. This time he talks about a zoo in verses 7 and 8. He says, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Friend, no man can tame the tongue. It is humanly impossible. It's something that only God can do. Of all the animals that mankind has learned to tame, no man, humanly speaking, can tame the tongue. James says that our tongues are restless. It means they have the potential to break out at any moment. I remember going through the safari at Animal Kingdom in Orlando many, many years ago, and there was a huge sign, and it said, please remain in your car at all times. I thought, why do they need a sign like that? Well, here's why. The animals that look tame and peaceful, they can rip your head off in a matter of seconds. The animals are restless. They are capable of breaking out. Friend, you never know what your mouth is going to say. In fact, it's like poison. The word in the original language is literally snake venom. Only a few drops is all that it will take to kill someone. Listen, you and I are capable of assassinating someone. We are capable of character assassination. The tongue, it is a deadly weapon. And so we should watch what we say because our tongue directs where we go. Our tongue can quickly destroy what we have. And a third reason is because my tongue displays who I am. My mouth reveals my character. The words that I use tell what is really inside of me. And James in verses 9 and 10, he talks about how inconsistent we are in our speech. Notice what he says in verse 9. With it, with our mouth, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people. People who've been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. At church, we say these things out of the same mouth. We come to church on Sunday and we use our mouth for the highest use, which is to praise God. We sing praises to the Lord and then we walk out of here, we get into the car, and on the way home, we begin arguing about trivial things that don't even matter. Where are we going to eat today? And an argument breaks out. It's amazing how quickly our attitude can change. One minute we're praising the Lord. One minute we're saying praise be to God. And the next moment, we're saying, please, would you just shut up? The tongue is a strange contradiction. It is inconsistent. One minute we're praising God. The next minute we're cursing others. And this idea of cursing doesn't mean profanity. It just means that we're putting others down or we're attaching labels to someone. James says, why curse others who are made in the image of God? Think about it. How can we be so loving to our kids or our spouses? And then the next moment we can be harsh and cold? How is that possible? How can we one minute be talking to someone in a gentle, loving tone, and the next minute we are mean and harsh? We hurt the people we love the most by saying things that can cause damage. Do you struggle with an inconsistent tongue? Because James says that we all do. We speak lovingly in one breath, and then we lash out in the next. So what gives? What is the problem? How can we genuinely say something in love and kindness one minute and say something in anger the next? Well, James tells us in verses 11 and 12. He gives us the answer. He encourages us to consider the source. Look in verse 11. Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives? Or a vine bear figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Now let me paraphrase James for a minute. James says whatever is in the well is going to come out in the water. That's what James says. James says that whatever is in the tree comes out in the fruit. Think about it. What's the likelihood of an apple tree producing cherries? Doesn't work that way, does it? It's not going to happen. When it comes to my mouth being inconsistent, my problem isn't really with my tongue. My problem is with my heart. The problem is with the heart because it is what is inside the heart that comes out of my mouth. My mouth eventually betrays what's really inside of me. And that means that I can fool you and I can pretend, but eventually my tongue is going to catch me. It's the way it works. My tongue will eventually let you know what is really inside. How many of you heard the excuse? Somebody says something mean or hurtful and they say, I don't know what got into me. That was so out of character for me to say that. And you know what James would say? Not so quick. James would say that what we speak comes from where? Comes from the heart. Comes from the heart. Listen, you don't have a spring that one minute gives salt water and the next gives fresh water. That's inconsistent. It is a law of nature that what comes out of the well is what is inside. Jesus said the same thing. In Matthew chapter 12, he was dealing with the Pharisees, and in verse 34, he said, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." One of the translations says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." My mouth directs where I go. My mouth destroys what I have, but also my mouth displays who I am. It reveals my character. So if you have a problem with your tongue, it may be more serious than you think, because it's not really just an issue with our mouth, but it's ultimately an issue of the heart. And so let's think about the heart. I want you to catch this. A person with a harsh tongue is a person who has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue is a person who has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. And a person with a filthy tongue is a person who has an impure heart. But if we flip that coin over, a person who is always encouraging is a person with a happy heart. A person who speaks gently is someone who has a loving heart. And a person who speaks truthfully is a person with an honest heart. So what's the solution? Well, the first thing is this, that we need to get a new heart. That's where it begins. We need to get a new heart. The place to begin is with salvation. Friend, you've got to get a new heart. In Ezekiel 18:31, it says, "Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit." Church, here's the bottom line. Painting the outside of the pump doesn't make any difference if there is poison in the well. In other words, I can change the outside and I can turn over a new leaf, but what I really need is a new life. I need a new heart. I need a fresh start. I need to let go of the past and I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and start over again. How do I get a new heart? Well, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He talks about a new life, a new heart, a new spirit. Paul instructs us that when we come to Jesus Christ for salvation, he wipes out everything that we have done in the past, and he gives us a do-over. Friend, do you need a new heart? We need to pray like David in Psalm 51. David cried out to God and said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." We need to ask God to give us a new heart, because what is in my heart will eventually come out of my mouth. We need inside help if we're going to manage our mouth. And so we need a new heart. And secondly, we need to ask God for help every day. Friend, you need supernatural power to control your tongue. You cannot do it on your own. Your life and my life, I think, is living proof of that. We cannot control our tongue on our own. And because we need supernatural power, we need to ask God to help us. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." It's a verse I've been memorizing this week, quoting it every morning, just asking God to put a muzzle on my mouth. God, guard my lips. Don't let me be critical. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me say things that I will later regret. Church, you need to ask God for help daily because you need his power in your life. There's a man by the name of Sidlow Baxter has a great quote. He said, "The proof that God's Spirit is in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue." He said, "The proof is that you control the tongue that you know." I think there's a lot of value in that statement. Church, we must watch our words, and God provides us the power. God will help us not to slander or lie or exaggerate. I think getting into God's word on a daily basis, I think that's part of our asking God for help. You see, it's like this. If you put garbage in your mind, what do you think is going to come out? If you put garbage in, what's going to come out? Garbage. Garbage in, then you'll get garbage out. What goes into your mind goes into your heart. And what goes into your heart comes out of your mouth. And so it's critical that you fill your mind with God's word. We've got to fill our minds with the things of Scripture. Paul said in Philippians 4, "Whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is holy, think on these things." So friend, if we don't want our tongue to lick us, we need to get a new heart. We need to ask God to save us and change us from the inside out. And we need to ask for God's help daily because we need his supernatural strength at work within us. And then a third step is that we need to think before speaking. Friend, we need to engage our mind before we put our mouth in gear. Back in chapter 1, verse 19, James said, "But let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Now, there is a designation here, and they go in order. He says we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If you're quick to listen, then you'll be slow to speak. And if you're slow to speak, then you will be slow to anger. Friend, if you have an anger problem, you need to work on being quick to listen and slow to speak. Maybe instead of leading with our mouths, we need to lead with our ears. And the result, according to James, is that we will be slow to anger. What does your tongue say about you? What does it reveal about you? If somehow we were able this morning that we could take these screens up here, and if we could play back every conversation that you had this week, what would that say about you? What would we learn about you today? So you say, "Well, man, that'd be embarrassing." Friend, let me remind you that God already hears. God already knows. Our tongues display who we are. So what direction is your tongue leading you? What direction are you heading? Our tongues control the direction of our lives. Just as a bit and a rudder must be under the authority of a strong arm, the only way to get your tongue controlled is to let Jesus Christ have control of your heart. What is in your heart eventually is going to come out of your mouth. So will you allow Christ to direct your life? Maybe this morning you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you need to go to your kids today and say, you know, I'm sorry. I've been inconsistent in the way that I talk to you. Sometimes I'm loving, sometimes I'm harsh. And I want to be more like Christ. Maybe you need to apologize to your spouse. Maybe you just need to admit, I'm not as loving in my speech as I ought to be. And I need to be more like Christ. I want to honor God with my mouth and with my words. The Bible says that our mouth displays what is inside. And that's where the change needs to take place. Maybe you need to pray this morning and say, God, put a guard over my mouth. Lord, help me think before I speak. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for some things that you have said that were out of place. Maybe you need to commit to reading the Bible on a daily basis and filling your mind with good things. Maybe you've got an overactive tongue. And this morning your prayer is that, God, would you give me peace that I don't talk so much? Help me not to be fearful. Or maybe you look at your life and say, I am completely self-absorbed. I need to ask the Lord, God, help me with my insecurity. God, help melt my heart so that it becomes more like yours. You know, making a promise to stop lying, making a promise to do our best, to speak only kind words, that really just addresses the surface problem. It doesn't really deal with the heart. It's not until we confess our faith in Christ, it's not until we allow Him to clean up the mess of our lives. Until then, we will never tame our tongue. So how do I experience God's gift of salvation and eternal life? What I need to do to be made right with God? Well, the gospel message is clear, that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus was perfect in every way. He came for sinners. He came for those who are broken, people like you and me. And what did Jesus do? Well, He never sinned. Therefore, He was the perfect sacrifice. He gave His life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Friend, Jesus died for you, and He died for me, but God the Father raised Him from the dead, defeating death and darkness, defeating hell and the grave. And the Bible teaches that anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be made right with God. You'll be forgiven, changed. Listen, you're never going to be made right with God by being better. You're never going to be made right with God by trying harder. No, we are only made right with God by placing our faith in God's perfect work through His perfect Son. Will you turn from your sin today? Will you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Will you surrender your life to Him? You know, when I gave my life to the Lord, it's been over 30 years ago. There was so much about the Bible that I didn't know. But I knew this much. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that my sin had separated me from God. I knew that I was broken. And I knew my only hope was through a personal relationship with a God who gave me life. And so I knelt at an altar just like this one, and I prayed. I made the decision to turn away from the way that I was living, to turn away from sin, and to surrender my life to Christ. If you're prepared to call upon the name of Jesus today, if you're ready to surrender your life to Him, then I encourage you, just talk to Him right where you are this morning. Just talk with the Lord and share with Him what's on your heart. God, today by faith, I give my life to You. Forgive me of my sin. God, I want You to save me and change me from the inside out. I need to experience new life. I need a fresh start. So God, as I turn away from sin, I put my trust completely in You. There may be decisions in life that you one day will regret, but friend, you will never regret your decision to surrender to the Savior. In just a moment, as we stand to sing, you meet me down front and let this church family know that you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. One of the ways that we can publicly identify ourselves as a follower of Christ is through believer's baptism. So if you have trusted in the Lord, but you have not followed him in believer's baptism, after you've confessed your faith in him, then we encourage you to do that. Maybe God's leading you to become a part of this church family. If so, don't wait another week. We invite you to partner with us as we reach our community for Christ. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this time that we can worship and honor you today. Father, we know that there are times when our mouths get us into trouble. Times that we say things that are out of place. Father, we confess that this morning. As David prayed, create in me a clean heart, oh God. Lord, help us to be the kind of people that speak words that lift up and encourage. That Father, our words would be spirit-filled, that they would honor you, glorify you, build up others. Lord, I pray that you would help believers this morning. That, Father, we would live out our faith in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I lift up those this morning who don't have inside help, those who are without a relationship with you. God, I pray that today they would realize that they're broken, that they're sinners, separated from you because of their sin. Father, I pray for repentance. I pray for a turning away from sin. And that they will put their trust in you for salvation. Father, we pray that you would move in a mighty way in this place today. And we give you all the honor and glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.